Welcome to the Ford Iron Podcast. We're here to help men understand their biblical roles, pursue Christ with unwavering courage in every aspect of their lives. Welcome to the Fort. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Ford Iron Podcast. It is Carl and myself, Cody Palmer. We're going to be talking about fatherhood on this episode, the roles of fathers, and we see a problem, and we're going to give you a solution. But first, going to the Word, Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of a womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Love that verse, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. So grace and peace to y'all. And, you know, I'm going to go Bible word nerd on you. And that word that jumps out to me as I was listening to you share God's word was heritage. And, you know, I looked that up in Hebrew. The Hebrew word actually refers to gift. So our children are a gift from the Lord. And the first thing I take away from that is that they're his and we're the stewards, and that he's given them to us for proper care and raising in his ways. And the other thing that jumped out to me about the word heritage, I looked that up in the dictionary, and it refers to a property that's inherited. Now, if you think about it, that could be some kind of family heirloom, you know, great grandpa's rifle that got passed down to grandpa, that got passed down to dad, that got passed down to you, and you're going to pass it down to your son. And you care for it, and you make sure it's well oiled and well taken care of, and you don't just leave it lying around somewhere. You know, you put it in a special case, and you don't give it to the kid when he's 2 years old. You make sure he's ready to understand and respect exactly what the heritage is behind that. Well, how much more so are we entrusted with the heritage of what God's called us to do as men, as fathers, in the role that he's modeled for us? So, Cody, maybe you could share with us what happens when things do not go according to God's plan.
Oh, yeah. Because the stats that we looked up are just insane, for one. And if y'all haven't heard Aaron Lewis's song, Granddaddy's Gun, y'all need to go listen to that one. That's a good one. You just reminded me of that, Carl. 71% of high school dropouts are from families without a father. Well, 1,000 unwed teenage girls become mothers. 1,106 teenage girls get abortions. 4,219 teenage girls contract an STD. 500 adolescents begin using drugs. 1,000 adolescents begin drinking alcohol. 135,000 bring a gun or other weapon to school with intent to use it. 3,610 teens are assaulted. 80 are raped. 2,200 teens drop out of high school. 7 kids ages 10 to 19 are murdered. 7 juveniles under the age of 17 are arrested for murder, and 6 teens commit suicide. Do you want to know what those stats are? That's daily.
Wow, that is heartbreaking.
Daily in America.
And all that related to children with no father in the home.
No father in the home.
Every day.
Every day. And that's the part that gets me, is even having a father in the house who is just, he's just the disciplinary, he's just there. There's no intentional time. There's no set aside time for them. Just being in the home prevents most of that. This one from the Barna Research Group underscored the importance of the father connection with a child. Of the 3,795 youth that were surveyed in that study, 82% of them attended an evangelical church weekly. 86% said that they had made a commitment to trust in Christ as their Savior and Lord. Yet the study showed 54% of those teens And the evangelical church families say that they seldom or never talk with their father about personal concerns, compared to 26% who say they seldom or never talk with mom about such things. One in every four young people surveyed in that statement said that they had never had a meaningful conversation with their father. More than two in five, that's 42%, say they seldom or never do anything special with their father that involves just the two of them. And one in five say their father seldom or never shows his love for them. And at the same time, the study revealed that the youth who are very close to their parents are more likely to feel satisfied with their life, abstain from sexual intercourse before marriage, adopt biblical worldviews on truth and morality, more likely to attend church after high school, more likely to read their Bible consistently and pray daily. And that's, you know, with 54% of those fathers not doing a daggum thing. They still feel very satisfied, still no STDs, no sex before marriage, you know. Like, what?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, as you were reading that, I was thinking again about the heritage. And it would be interesting for those kids who said that they really had no, I'll just say, meaningful engagement with their dad, whatever form that takes. And especially not talking about God's word in the home, not modeling it, you know, that lack of true bonding time, one-on-one together. And I wonder if you surveyed those dads, the dads of those children, what would those dads say about their dads? Yeah. Is this the heritage that's been passed down from the generation? Because let's face it, kids learn with their eyes. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do what they see you doing or I doing.
Yeah. Especially my young ones. I mean, how many times have I been in the garage working on something, slam my finger with a hammer, drop a four-letter word, and then 2 weeks later, my youngest comes around the corner, busts her kneecap, and drops that same four-letter word. Again, another country song, like we said earlier. I did not remember who sings it, but it says, the chorus goes, "I've been watching you, Dad. Yep. I want to be like you. I'm your buckaroo." Like,
yep.
Even in a non-Christian worldview, you know, kids look up to their father.
Yep.
They're going to imitate.
Yeah, that reminded me. There was a real old, it was a kind of a folk song, not necessarily one you're going to hear in Christian circles, but "The Cat's in the Cradle." And it talks about, you know, a dad, and he was probably working hard, providing for the family, but he wasn't pouring into the kid. And then all of a sudden, the dad got older, and suddenly he had time, and he wanted to spend time with the kid. And the kid was like, "Hey, I'm busy. Yeah. I got my work. I'm immersed in my life." And why? Because he didn't model and show them how to build a relationship.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're older. They've established their ways. And they don't know how to build a relationship. They don't know the value of the relationship. They don't invest in a relationship because they were never taught it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's part of my hope is even if these guys aren't being taught, at least they're being taught, like this one from the Barna Research Group, at least they're in the home. And so we got a starting point. And in true Fort Iron fashion, you know, our retreat is all about application and things that these guys can take home. You know, we want the podcast, our website, the social media pages to be the exact same way, is to give y'all something to take with you. And we've identified the problem. So here's the solution. Fatherhood, as defined through, I think it's the MacArthur Dictionary that I got this out of, says fatherhood, the foundation of everything that is good, moral, and worthy of imitation. This is talking about God the Father and the fatherhood doctrine. So that's, I just found it worthy of imitation, you know, just like that song, like we're talking about, is good influences or bad influences. Our kids are watching. If we snuck around and we do sketchy stuff, they're going to see that. They're going to be like, oh, well, I can sneak around behind mommy's back and do whatever, or I can sneak out the house because dad slides out the house. And the flip side of that is they see you sitting here with a guitar singing worship songs instead of trying to figure out the next hit song. They're going to have a heart for worship. Or if they see you sitting there studying when other dads are sitting around watching whatever football game, I mean, nothing against football, I mean, go Dogs. But it's what you make priority in your life. Your kids are going to notice if they're the priority, if your wife is the priority, if the Lord is a priority in your life, your kids are going to see it. And if you're trying to imitate him, it's just going to come as part of the benefits. If you're trying to get closer to Jesus and, you know, be holy for I am holy, like it says in Peter, it's like, you're going to be a good father. It just happens. I have now set out to, you know, look and dive a little deeper into family worship and some things like that. But just reading the Word of God coming through here, looking at him as the Heavenly Father, Matthew 3 shows that he's a loving father. We got Matthew 7 where he's giving. Galatians 4 shows a tender hearted that he truly cares for each of us individually, you know, that yes, he's a creator of the universe, but he is also a personable spirit that we can communicate with and have that relationship with.
Yeah, you covered the attributes of God well. And think about how many times Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I do nothing except what the Father has told me to do. I am in the Father's will. Now, we know through doctrine of the Trinity that Jesus is God. And in the great mystery of the Trinity, he is subordinate to the Father as the Son, co-equal, but yet subordinate. And we could probably do another podcast and try and figure that one out. But I don't know. That's probably above our pay grade.
I'll call but Eric. He'll give us an answer.
Yeah, there you go. But the point is that Jesus models this for us. This is the heritage that he lays down. And at Fort Iron, you know, there's certain scripture that really resonates with us. And one of the foundational things we believe a lot in is legacy building. That's where the heritage gets passed on. And so to that end, a key verse for us, Deuteronomy 6:6-7, which the Lord says, these words that I have commanded you shall remain in your heart. You shall teach them to your children. And the verse goes on from there, and we'll get back to that later. But think about it. These words that I've commanded you, he's passed them to us. That's the heritage. The gift, the instructions for right living, and the attributes that Cody just shared that are modeled and demonstrated what happens when we're in alignment with those words. And then with no uncertainty, the Lord then immediately goes on and says, and it's your job to pass them on to your kids. Get it done.
Yeah, and like you said, it says, I have commanded you. I spent, you know, almost 10 years in the military. My commander commands me to do something and says, you shall, you will. It's not a, you should. Hey, you should probably go do this. You go do it. Or you end up in a rock pit doing push-ups or mopping the concrete in the rain, so whatever stupid punishment they can come up with. But commands are not optional. It's not I could or I would. It's a you ought to because I told you, and if you don't, I'm going to kick your tail. You know, I can't even remember the proverb where it says, the man who spares the rod hates his son, but you know, the wise accept reproof or something like that. I can't remember exactly. That's the PSV. Y'all have heard it a couple of times. Palmer Standard Version. Paraphrase a little bit. but reminds me of, you know, Proverbs 4. Yeah. Hear, O son, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts, and do not forsake my teaching. And that goes anything, like we're talking about. The fathers can teach good, or the fathers can teach bad. And any of us that sit in a pew on Sunday and claim to be followers of Christ, we should want better, and it should all be good teaching. We shouldn't be, you know, showing our kids how to, I don't know, I can think of a million things, I'm sure you can too, use your imagination. I don't want y'all to see how sinful I can really think. We all know. But later on, and there, I believe it's verse 10. Yep. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. How many times has your dad done that? He said something, you're like, oh, dad's dumb. And then you go and do it, and you got your truck stuck, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You're trying to call another buddy who's 16, and he's a moron too. Now both your trucks are stuck, and you got to call one of your dads. It's like, dad, don't call mine, because I called him stupid a minute ago. So can you lose your life mud bogging? No. I mean, maybe, but I never would think so. But it's the steel. If I would have listened to my dad, my 88 Silverado would not have water damage and a waterlogged engine and water all in the seats. And the little girl that I was dating, her father wouldn't want to kill me because it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm like 5 hours past getting his daughter home because I made a dumb decision.
Yeah, you know, God's word gives us instruction. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Well, how would a young man know God's word if he wasn't taught God's word? You know, the Bible is crystal clear whose responsibility is to teach, and that falls on fathers.
Yeah.
And we're going to cover that. But I do want to go back to something you said about discipline. You know, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes, fathers, do not provoke your child to anger, but instead discipline and instruct them in the way of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6:4. And, you know, I think it's really important to know the difference between discipline and punishment. When you look at the word discipline, it's a teaching, it's a training. There's a strong reinforcement to that training, and that, you know, there's an expected result that the child will follow through, that the father will show the way. And sometimes the father needs to do things to get the kid's attention.
Absolutely.
Because kids have shortest attention spans. And the Bible says, as you have rightfully said, sometimes that involves corporal punishment, a spanking.
Yeah.
But that's not abuse. That's not violence. We're not talking about anything like that. But a loving parent does not let their child touch a hot stove. They're going to swat their hand or do something to draw attention. That's not okay. Now they have to explain it so that they, you know, draw a connection for the child between reaching out for the hot stove and that little slap is going to hurt a lot less than a first degree burn.
Oh yeah.
Or a third degree burn. I don't know all my burn degrees, but you get the point.
And there's only three.
There you go. Well, any of them, nobody wants their kid to have that.
Yeah.
So when we look at the word discipline in that word in the original language, again, it means to train and instruct. It does not mean to punish. A loving father disciplines their children because they want the best for them. Punishment, on the other hand, is God's wrath poured out in judgment on the unrepentant. And we don't want to see anybody follow that path. But I think back to those statistics. And the fact that those kids, what chance did they have with no father teaching them things we're talking about?
Yeah. And it's, you know, the mom stepping into a role that she's not, most likely not equipped to take, a role that she wasn't made to take, but she's doing the best she can to try to be the mom, be the fun parent, keep the house clean, provide for them, teach them, protect them. Like that's the father's job. Priest, protector, provider. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I like your distinction between discipline and punishment, because when I think discipline, and I mean, you can ask my 7-year-old that, hey, what's discipline? Well, discipline is when daddy's teaching me something. That's what she'll say. And the definition for discipline in my head is like when it's like I'm going to discipline my mind to learn whatever I'm learning, whatever I'm studying. I'm going to discipline my body to have endurance to run a marathon or whatever. You know, so it's discipline in my head is making myself do something that I don't want to do, or teaching my children that what they want to do is 9 times out of 10 the wrong thing to do when it comes to the issues that toddlers have and their undeveloped brains.
Yep. And it progresses in life. And it's that, you know, these commands that I have instructed you shall remain in your heart. There are guidelines. They're the guardrails. They're the ones that keep us safe. If we teach our children to walk in alignment with the Lord, they're not going to fall prey to the troubles and tribulations of the world and the culture around them. They're going to make biblical worldview-based decisions. Now, that's not easy, and they're going to make mistakes, but that's where grace comes in.
Yeah.
But in the absence of teaching, they've got no shot. You know, think about Psalm 1, where it talks about, you know, don't stand on the fringe of the wrong crowd. Don't find yourself walking down the hall with them. And then when you're sitting in trouble with them, don't ask yourself how you got here. Yeah. You weren't following the Lord's way. And it's possible because no one taught you the Lord's way. And that's the other part of Ephesians 6:4, where it says instruction, or instruct them in the ways of the Lord. That's not just information. That's a warning. You know, as fathers, we're called to warn our children of the consequences of bad decisions.
Yeah. And I mean, we just slid right into, you know, kind of our how to section of this, you know. And I know you got older kids. I've got 3 young ones. Jason's rocking, you know, the in between me and you, and Gunny's got one, you know, that's about to graduate, and 2 that are right. So it's like, all 4 of us were constantly back and forth, like, hey, what would you do in this situation, that and the other? So I would say get you a group of dads too. That's a good group to have with, because, you know, the Bible says slow to anger. And us dads, we come in. I don't know how most of you guys are. I work about 76 to 80 hours every week. Not by choice. But I come in from work and it's just, I want to go to bed sometimes. I want to take a shower and just go to bed. I don't want to do anything. But I know by looking at these stats, seeing the state of the culture that we have around here, that the arrows in my quiver, they're not going to be field tips for target practice. They're going to be 3.5-inch Rage broadheads on them. So when they're going for a kill shot, and that's what I want to do. I got 2 that are biologically mine. I got 1 that's going to be mine here soon. And Lord willing, we'll get more. I'm going to stack the quiver up. I'm send the army out of here, as Bodie Bauckham said. But with that, each of my kids, 1, 5, and 7, I have to use different disciplines with each one of them. There's a uniqueness, just like all of us, there's a uniqueness between each individual dad, each individual story, individual wives, our children. We cannot forget that yes, you and your wife made them, and they're made in y'all's image just as we're made in the Father's image. But they got different personalities, different brain thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So you have to, it's a constant learning battle with you and your wife trying to figure out which is the best way to teach, to discipline, to get points across with each individual child. My oldest, I can just raise my voice at her. Gracelyn, go to your room right now. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Daddy. Like, instant tears. She's the kindest and most compassionate little girl. She cares for everyone. I come in from work, she's like, Daddy, I prayed for so-and-so today, blah, 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 blah. Like, the sweetest. And my 5-year-old, she is a female version of me. And sometimes I just want to grab her. But you can't do that to a 5-year-old. So it's like, slow to anger. I'm walking away from you. Sometimes, dads, you just need to walk away. This is another how-to thing. Before you get into where you're spanking, like you said, it's like, if you need to spank, we're for it. But there is a line. And if you're going to cross that line, make sure you stop. Don't provoke your child to anger. Like, if you provoke your child to anger, like, look at it. Do not provoke your child to this statistic. Don't provoke them to that one or this one. Just read through that list. And if you're going to lose control on something, don't.
Never spank your child in anger.
Yeah, ever.
Period.
That's something we had a discussion with a fella down the road. Anywho.
Well, I also want to comment on something you said about collaboration with our wives. You know, the father's role is to teach. We are to be the primary teacher of our children, especially in God's way. But that doesn't mean we're the exclusive teacher or we're somehow superior. It takes both. Man and woman were both created in God's image. We each have different styles, different roles, different ways of going about things. And, women are no less capable. You know, we're equal, but we have different jobs to do. Yeah. You know, I think about what you're saying. There's times where, I've got adult children and grandchild number 3 will be here within a couple weeks. Praise the Lord. And him being willing, of course, but so far, he's been very gracious and blessed this pregnancy. But with that said, as you said, they're each different. And there's times where I will speak and my wife will think, well, that was sounded mean. And I said, no, that was firm.
Yeah.
I was polite. I was respectful. But there was nothing unclear in what I said. And I wasn't asking them for a question. I wasn't searching for a debate. I was setting an expectation, and I expect it done.
Yeah.
Now, what's the 5th commandment? Honor your father and mother.
Yep.
And it's the only commandment, as we know, with a promise, and it will go well for you in the land that I have promised. Well, if first of all, we have to set that example. It's honor your father and your mother. And we have to set an example that they would want to honor. Now, they're called to do it whether or not we present that example or not. But how much easier is it? How much more harmony is it? How better is the communication and openness it is when we've created an environment where our children honor us?
Yeah.
And so you know, fathers and mothers are both necessary. And to your point, you know, big shout out of praise, you know, to the single moms out there and the single dads. That is not God's design for the family. And we know that in either case, each individual is doing absolutely the best they can, or hopefully they are. But it was never designed to go it alone. The child needs both, you know, the firmness of the father and the nurturing of the mother. And fathers nurture in certain ways, and moms are firm in other ways. No one is exclusive on either attribute. But the child needs both, exposure to both, to be well-rounded, to be healthy, and to ultimately grow up and be well-rounded and healthy as a husband or wife themselves as they go off and have a family.
Yeah, and there's some, you know, single parents out there that are straight up killing it, doing everything by the book. And, oh, my goodness, who was the lady? She realized, she ended up writing a book. I cannot remember her name. I will get the book and post it in our link here below. But she was telling the story. She's a single mom of three boys, and she knew that she had no clue what they needed. But she knew she needed to be in church. You know, she was a Christian. She was raised that way. She got mentors at her church, like guys at the church. She went up to them, "Hey, I don't know what I'm doing. I know my son needs a father figure, and I'm not out here looking for a husband. I'm not looking for this. I'm looking for a mentor for my boys." And she got it. Like, men in that church stepped up and took them boys hunting, took them fishing, you know, different manly activities, camping, hiking, whatever. But helped her to raise, they picked up the slack. Her local church picked up the slack of their absent father. And all three of those boys are, you know, small town preachers now. Like, it's just, you hear stories like that and you're like, that's awesome. So,
and that's what we're called to do as the church.
You know, exactly.
Be there for each other. Church is not a building you show up at once in a week. No, carrying a book that you don't crack the cover between Sundays. Well, the church is the body of Christ, and what you described is exactly what we're called to do and who we're called to be.
Yeah, what's the rest of our Deuteronomy 6 say right there? It goes, talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them as a sign on your hand. That's all day, every day, anytime, any place. That's what that is, you know? And as a man, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
And another thing we encourage at Fort Iron is that when you're out and about, pray for others. You know, if you're in a restaurant, pray for the person serving you. If you're in the store, pray for the cashier. Ask them how you can pray for you. When your children see you do that consistently, it's going to make an impression on them. Sometimes they're going to see people who are like, don't even have a clue what you're talking about. Like, what's a prayer? Like, yeah, go ahead and pray. Like, they're not. And there's other times where you'll see a person break into tears because you had no idea you were being faithful as the hands and feet of the Lord, because that person needed prayer at that moment.
Yeah.
And you were just being obedient. And your children are going to see that whole spectrum.
Yeah. And as they get older, you know, I'm a huge deer hunter. I'm a fisherman. Really anything outdoors that has to do with weapons, you'll find Cody Palmer doing it. I can't wait to have my girls in the deer stand where it's not, hey, be quiet. No, Gabby Cat, you're not watching that. Like, random conversations. They'll put headphones on and watching whatever. Hey, Daddy. Shut up. Like, you know, so once we can get out there, and they love it, they just like being with Daddy. And once they get older, it'll be those deer stand conversations. They get in there and not like, you get to, who taught it? Brad Houchin, did a sermon on, you know, the deer panting for water. And being a hunter, you know, that resonated with me because I've seen that. You know, I'm a bow hunter. You stick an arrow in a deer in a good shot, they're going downhill or they're heading to water and they're panting just like, oh my gosh, I need to cool off. I'm losing blood, all this stuff. And so I just can't wait to have those conversations like that and relate what they're seeing in real life. This deer running down the hill to the creek that we're about to go get, it's going to go in our refrigerator. It's going to feed our family in it. It's, if we get a deer, it is a blessing for us to get that deer. And so for me to be able to teach that to my girls, and not only are they enjoying time with daddy, some special time with me, they're learning a skill. They're getting actual like visualization of scripture coming to life. And it's just, it's stuff I look forward to.
No, that's awesome. You know, I was thinking about, and I know your little girls, and I know they love deer nuggets.
Deer nuggets. That's right.
And so, you know what? The reality is if they want deer nuggets, what a great opportunity to start teaching them James 1:19. Now, a little bit out of context, James wasn't talking about deer hunting, but quick to listen, slow to speak. If you want the deer nuggets, you've got to listen for the deer. And if you speak, you're going to scare the deer off. Now, again, as they grow and mature, we need to teach them the proper context. I'm not suggesting that I can do all things through a verse taken out of context, which is also you can find in the PSV version of the word. But, you know, it's little things like that, though, that you can just show scripture as part of the day to day.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at home, when you're by the way, are you referring to God's scripture as that practical guideline and guardrails of life in day-to-day practical opportunities? You know, you can have the family sit around and do a study, and that's awesome, and by the way, you should. But when that study transforms into practical application in the day-to-day, that really reinforces the lesson.
Yeah, that's you're exactly right. When I read something and it goes, sometimes verses go in one ear and out the other, but the context, the theme, you know, the lesson learned from it will stay with you, and you'll go months, years sometimes, and you're like, I don't even know what this means. And then something will happen and you're like, there it is, you know, and that's the thing with your family worship. You should always do three things: read the Bible, pray, and sing a song. It's very easy to do. Everybody should do that. We got a shameless plug coming. Here you go. Family worship resource pack coming out. That'll be free to download. You can print it off, have a how-to guide. It'd be real nice for you. But you should always do those three things. If you're sitting here doing those with your family, sometimes it means nothing to them other than, hey, this is family time and we're learning. And then it's been times that in my adult life, I'll call my dad and be like, hey, you remember that time you're doing this? He's like, no clue what you're talking about. And I'm like, well, you did this, you said that based on this. And he's like, okay, what's your point? I was like, I just got it today. Being a dad of these daggum three heathens, I just got it. And I'm sorry, I was a crappy child. Like, you know? And so it's things like that. You're instilling things into them that they may not know or understand right now, but later on it'll click. Whether you're in a deer stand praying for somebody at the Waffle House, or they're out with their friends and they come in and they're like, hey, Dad, check this out. It's that you're passing something on to them that's staying with them. And God willing, all three of my kids get married, have other kids. They're going to call me and be like, Dad, you remember this? Same conversation. No, we read the Bible every day. I don't remember every lesson that we did. What you talking about? And it just might be something that you said from the Word of God that started a generational legacy that they pass down to their kids, that's going to get passed down to the next group. And that's what it's all about, is just doing that.
Well, the Lord says his word never, when it goes out, it never comes back void.
I haven't seen it come back void.
Yep. And the, you know, because it's the Holy Spirit that indwells them that will do the transformative work. We're a vessel. Remember, go back to what we said before in Psalm 127, verse 3. Children are a gift, a heritage from the Lord. We're the stewards. We're the vessels that he pours through to raise up the next generation. It's not the world according to Carl or Cody or Jason or Gunny. It's God's word. That is the authority that we stand on. Now, you know, you may be listening to this and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You've not asked him to be your Lord and Savior. And some of this may not make any sense to you. And we understand. And so the first and foremost is to have a right relationship with the Lord. And we do that by asking him, first of all, recognizing that we're sinners, that he came to this earth and bore the penalty for our sin to restore our relationship with a holy and righteous and loving Father. And that when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, our sins are immediately forgiven. Now, we must be repentant, which is just a fancy Christian word, which means we got to start doing things his way, not our old way. But that's where that indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, and it's start where you're at. If you haven't accepted Jesus, if you have questions, reach out to us. We're not here to judge you. We want to help you. If you have accepted Jesus, then where are you at when you walk? And again, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. You know, again, shameless plug, we have a retreat upcoming. And we spend a lot of our time in application and practical learning on the things that we talked about today. Generational teaching, building that legacy. And that's a lot of what you learn at the fort. So if you're not comfortable reading or God's word in front of your family, or they don't see you doing it, just start there. Let them see you making your time in God's word a priority. And then when you try to start family devotional time, expect resistance, especially if you have teenagers, because you're introducing something they're not used to and they don't quite get. But be persistent and consistent. And then seek the Holy Spirit's guidance for what's the next thing to do, what's the next thing to learn, what's the next thing to teach. And be attentive to his prompting when those teaching moments come up with your kids. Because those statistics that Cody shared at the beginning, they're heartbreaking. You know, the number of dropouts per year, the number of criminal activity that has irreversible consequences. It can't be changed once it's done. Now, we can go forward, we can figure it out, but that scar is going to remain. So how do we avoid those things? Well, by doing it God's way, by following his commands, and by passing it on to our kids. And again, this is a lot of what we teach and what we cover at Fort Iron in the retreat. So if you have any questions about that, we have one upcoming. I think we have a couple spaces left, but, you know, they're held all the time. We encourage you, you know, if there's another dad that you know who's in the same place where it's like, you know we need to do this. We just don't, we're not sure how. That's okay. Check us out at the Fort.
Reach out.
We will help you. We will show you. We'll be transparent about all the mistakes we made. We're not experts. We're just guys who've been through the ringer and through the fire. And we want to share that with you. And then, as Cody said, we'll continue to equip you with resources, as well as connection with like-minded brothers, so you don't have to go it alone.
I can't think of a better way to end it there. nailed it. Perfect way to explain the gospel in 3 minutes too, by the way. Yeah. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. If you're not, you know, doing daily disciplines, start doing your own personal daily disciplines. That's how I started. You think I walked in here and be like, "Hey guys, this is what we're doing." Cause they would have been like, "Get out of here." They saw me sitting right over there with a notebook and a Bible doing stuff. Probably 18 months before somebody was like, "You gonna do that every day?" Yeah, a couple times a day. I do it right here so y'all can see it first thing in the morning, but I'm doing it in there when I'm sitting on the toilet and doing it on my phone because I don't know a dadgum thing. And this book is the ultimate authority because August 19th, 2020, I feel, you know, I accepted the gift. Well, I accepted the gift. I became repentant and all that stuff and knew what Christianity was, but I was not totally surrendered until August 19th, 2020. And that's the day that it changed. And around 2021, it's like, I'm going to start doing this. And now it's, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to get groceries. Come on. You ain't got to pray for everybody in here. Yeah, dude, Coral told me I had to. but no, so just to recap everything, let's not let our kids be a statistic. It's a heritage. It's a legacy. There are, you know, principalities, powers of darkness that we are truly fighting against. Turn the dadgum news on. Watch. I mean, there's a new movie out with one of these weird characters that is fluid in their stuff. I don't even know the correct terminology for this thing, but it's in kids' movies. And if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, they're going to fall prey to that and fall right into the next research paper that comes out. And I don't want my kid to be in a research paper talking about how crappy I was. That's not the legacy that I want. I want to be like, yeah, my dad struggled and he worked a lot, but every single day he made special time to talk to us. Once a month, you know, my dad took me to do this, and then he would take my sister to do whatever she wanted. We would have this special time. We would do that treat, whatever. And that's what I want. I want him to be like, my dad had an awesome mustache. whatever the case may be. But the stats, and those were just a few. You can go, you can go to census.gov in the search bar, type in fathers, absent fathers. It'll pull up a list of stats. Fathers.com. You can just go to Google and type in stats on absent fathers and page after page after page. This recent movie that just came out, Sound of Freedom, there's so many women that get out of the sex worker field or the sex trafficking that they were in, and they talk about every single person they met had no father. So as our first job of being protector, provider, priest, and prophet for them, like, our kids can't be failed.
They Amen. Just, Amen.
Any final thoughts from you, Carl?
I think we covered it well tonight. And, you know, again, start where you're at. And have a heart to not allow your kid to be a statistic. I think you summed it up well, Cody. So
I'm going to finish this off with this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Every work, every word that you do, just like this book, you know, this is, we believe that this is God's word breathed through divine writings, that this is his word. He gives us this word. It is good. Our children look at us, that every word we say is good. Let every one of our works be good as well for
them. Amen.
Thanks for hanging out with us at the Fort.
Awesome. Grace and peace, y'all.